And I tell people, it's not just for you. You may need it for someone in your family or someone in your inner circle, a friend or peer. And if you're not networked, how do you help people?
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Larry Kaufman. Here's three facts that I believe you should know about Larry. One, he is the managing director for the Midwest region at Jefferson Wells. And he's been a globally published speaker and trainer on LinkedIn for over 15 years. Two, he is the author of the best-selling book, The NCG Factor, and we'll have to find out what NCG stands for, a formula for building life-changing relationships from college to retirement. That kind of covers life. And three, he helps someone in transition every week, and that is one of the action items in his book. Larry Kaufman, aka LinkedIn Larry, welcome to Your Intended Message.
George, great to be here. Thanks for having me today.
Wonderful to be talking with you. And so let's answer the first mystery for people. What is NCG and why is that so significant?
NCG is networking, connecting, and giving. It's really a formula for building these life-changing relationships, like you said, from college to retirement. It doesn't end when you retire, George. I'm not quite there yet. Got many years, but it goes beyond retirement.
And how do those three actions, networking, connecting, and giving, how is that reflected in what you're doing to build your network and grow your own career to get eventually to retirement? What are those three things? What do they play into your daily, weekly life?
Well, they do. And it's the networking. It's, you know, I redefined it in my book, but it's less of a exchange of business cards, George. It's really getting to know people more authentically, learning about them and finding ways to be a connector and a giver to those people. But beyond that, you know, giving doesn't necessarily mean that you have to give to a person. It could be, you know, giving of your time to a charity, your knowledge, your expertise. So it plays into everything I do every single day, imparting that knowledge, that information, that insight to the people around me. And I guess you would say, I try to find ways to become, you know, like an indispensable resource to the people in my inner circle and even outer circle.
Now, there's an interesting concept there, inner circle and outer circle, and how much of a resource you can be to them, because I'm guessing if your inner circle is too big and you're constantly giving, you're going to be drained. What do you say to that?
Well, it depends. I find it difficult to say no. I'm good with time management, but it's hard for me to say no to my inner circle. And because, you know, you get help from people. I don't do it all alone, George. I may say, hey, you know, I think I have a friend of mine, George Torok, that could help you, or Jeff Blackman, who introduced us. So it doesn't drain me totally, because I may shift it to another person that could be that connector, giver, that person to help that person in my inner or outer circle.
So that concept of giving could be as simple as connecting someone to a better source, a better resource.
Right, because I'm not always the best resource. You know, if you needed, you know, someone to fix the electrical in your house, I have to refer you to some people in my network, or you're going to be without power.
How big is your inner circle?
How big, or how big, how does one decide, and how does one decide how big it should be?
I think it could be as big as three people, as little as three people. It could be 100 people. I think it's the people that you know, trust, and can ask almost anything to that network, that inner circle where if you're in my inner circle, George, and I say, I need a favor, you're not going to waver and be like, really, Larry, what do you need? I'm ready to help. That's the inner circle. It's those people you can rely upon. So the more you have in that inner circle that have varied experience, connections, relationships that are local, global, and that's what I have, I have more opportunities to help other people in my network and even my extended outer circle network.
Giving is a big part of what you do. You mentioned that it could be giving to a charity. And how does giving to a charity help your network?
Well, I think it helps you leave a better, living legacy, or when you're gone, right? I think doing, more good. I talk to so many people that work so many hours, don't even do anything charitable, don't even do anything philanthropic. So I think it's a good thing to get involved. Depending on how you're involved, if you're getting on a junior board or the board of directors, you're meeting a lot of great people to participate in charities, and you share a similar cause of interest, and it expands your network too. And so I actually, through the charities I've been involved with over the years, my network and the relationships, real relationships, have completely evolved and just been so tremendous and taken me, years and years, with these folks I've known, and I can call them for almost anything.
Now, I'm reminded of, and forgive me for going back to such an old movie, but I'm reminded of The Godfather, who would be asked for a favor, and he'd give a favor, and he'd say, well, someday it may never happen, but one day I may come around and ask a favor of you. And I'm not saying that that's the way you operate, but I believe what you're doing is, if you give first, it's more likely that someone will reciprocate at some point in the future, because they'll go, oh, LinkedIn Larry, yeah, I remember how he helped me out with this, or how he I'm there for you, Larry. I'm guessing that's the way it works.
It does. I don't give with expectation for the get. And if you do, you're doing it wrong. However, I've been very giving, and it's very fulfilling. I enjoy it. Like, it's a big thrill. It's euphoric when I hear back, Larry, this connection led to a job, or helped my charity, or did this for me and my family. But sometimes you will need that favor, George. You'll need it for a family member, for yourself. And it's those people, those in transition with the job that never built a network. They were working 70-hour work weeks. All of a sudden, 20 years later, they're out of a job. They're like, I don't have a network. And they're asking people they don't know for favors. And they're like, I don't really know you. And so I can help my children, my spouse, those in my inner circle, outer circle. I have built a great network. And usually it's not for myself that I call in those favors. It's for other people that need help. But I have needed favors. You have to read the book to read about a favor I called in for my son. But it really is important to build relationships, where you can't do the Godfather ask for that favor. Someday I'll need that favor.
and I'm thinking about when we give gifts, whether it's for a birthday gift or a Christmas gift. Now, we usually feel good about watching the other person enjoy their gift. If we're there to watch them unwrap and we see the joy and the pleasure, it makes us feel good. Do you get that same euphoria when you do something for someone else?
Even better, because sometimes those gifts that I've gotten are terrible. So I don't get real excited. So I have to fake it. So I'm not faking it, because I do good, but it feels good. Like, someone will say to me, Larry, how can I help you? By letting me help you helps me. And I'm truthful about that. I'm sincere, because I feel good. And when you come back and go, Larry, because of what you did and that connection, or frankly, like just the advice I give on career transition or using LinkedIn or something innovative or interesting, or make a true connection. I felt that there was good commonality, or I get a couple, you know, married or on a date. All those things come back and make me feel awesome. Like it makes my week. It makes my day.
Larry, I noticed you've got, last time I looked, over 29,000 followers on LinkedIn. How can you give that much to that many people?
So I've got the followers and I've got the connections, which are pretty similar. And thankfully, not all 29,000 are reaching out for those favors and those connections, but I have leveraged people in that network globally to help, you know, myself at times and others. And it's a networking platform. And typically those on it that have connected with you, you know that and understand it and will help you when requests come up. And so it's been really great. And there's so much expertise. So I love having that network, because sometimes I didn't realize someone in LA has this subject matter expertise that someone in my inner or outer circle needs. And I reach out and go, George or Mary, hey, I know you do this. I was wondering, I have someone here in Chicago that needs that. And I can make that connection. It's been awesome. So no, I don't have requests coming from everybody, but that way it's more manageable, just having that network to kind of look at and use when I need it for my network of relationships.
Larry, I'm thinking about those people who you talked about who work in a job in a company, or their career lasts spans 20 years, and then all of a sudden one day they're out of a job and they don't have a network, which is probably a good reminder that just because you've got what you think is a steady job, a good job, doesn't mean that you shouldn't be networking. And I'm reminded of the book that, the author's name escapes me right now, called Dig Your Well Before You're Thirsty. And he talked about Harvey McKay, Dig Your Well Before You're Thirsty, who talked about you need to be marketing before you need the marketing response. You need to be building your network before you need the networking favors back. Is that the advice that you'd give to those people who are at any point in their career?
Always be networking. Always be building relationships. But I will tell you, it's going to continue to happen. I meet people like this all the time. And I tell a story of a gentleman in my book. And he, when I met him, he was about 53 and very successful in the real estate world. And the next generation basically said, hey, I don't need you as CEO anymore. We're disposing of our assets. And great guy, successful, worked really hard and just built this really tiny network, didn't network a lot, wasn't philanthropic. And someone introduced me to him and we fostered this connection. And I taught him how to be a connector. I got him involved with my charity. And he was so upset that he was going to find a job, because he was enjoying connecting people to people and starting to build these relationships that he never did in his, you know, 2-decade-plus career, and really found enjoyment from it. And so you could start once you go in transition, but you need to start now. So anyone listening now that is really happy, don't get too happy. Things change and you want to have these relationships. And I tell people, it's not just for you. You may need it for someone in your family or someone in your inner circle, a friend or peer. And if you're not networked, how do you help people?
So it's not like you're 10 or 15 years out of college and all of a sudden you need a favor and you remember there was this person in your class in college. You haven't talked to him for 15 years. If you call them up and ask for help, they're going to say, who are you?
Well, you know, I have gone back to people I may haven't talked to in a while, but it depends how you cultivated that connection. Maybe I haven't talked to someone in 10, 15 years, but I introduced them to their future spouse, or I got them a job, or I helped their child, you know, or a friend of theirs, or I coached them on something and they remember that. And, you know, sometimes you, you know, pick up with people you haven't talked to in a little bit, and it's like you never skipped a beat. I have a lot of those people because it's hard, right? It's hard to talk to thousands of people. But if you left them in the right way, you can pick up where you left off.
Ah, so you don't necessarily need to be emailing them every week or every month. If the relationship ended on a strong positive, there's a pretty good chance it's still that strong positive.
Yeah, because I've reached out to people and it's like, you know, I got them a job 5 years ago and said, hey, you know, Mary, I need your help. Larry, whatever you want, you know, I'm in my job because of you. Well, you know, I didn't get them a job so I could call them later for a favor. But I know when I call them, it's like, hey, we pick up where we left off. And so it's wonderful. It's hard to keep in touch with thousands of people, but you know, it happens, and it happens naturally or unexpectedly, and it's good.
Larry, there must be limits to what you will do or how much time you will invest in other people. How do you know when you're hitting that limit?
Well, I'm honest with people, and I kind of set expectations. You know, here's what I could do. Personally, here's how I could help you. And so I know my limitations because I'm in a leadership role. And I get busy and I have set obligations, but I think it's so important every week to help people. And like I said, you said earlier in my book, I said, I'm going to help someone in transition every week. I put it in my book, so I have to do it. So that's something I always have to work in, but I always exceed that NCG goal that I set. But yeah, you have to set expectations because I can't be everywhere all the time and I can't do everything, but I will set expectations up front, what I can do, how much time I can commit. And I think that's important to be realistic with people.
And I thought I heard you say that you have trouble saying no. And I'm wondering, so when you're asked for something that you're unable or unwilling to do, instead of saying no, what do you say?
Well, hey, George, I love what you're asking for. That's out of my area of expertise. Let me see if I can find someone that can help you with that. Or it's rare that I'd say, I know no one, because I can always find someone or point them to a link or direct them somewhere else. But I may say no, but it may be a redirect.
Gotcha. And Larry, you mentioned philanthropy at least a couple times. How vital is that to building a strong network?
It's the network, but it's just also to do something for others, right? So my message out there is don't just do things for yourself. You got to do things for others. And some people go, I'm a good family person, right? I'm a good spouse. I'm a good parent. And that's great. But there's more outside your family dynamic. So get out there and help someone, help a charity, whether it's Feed My Starving Children, you know, could volunteer. That doesn't mean it's about your network. It's just about being giving. And I, like I said, too, your expertise, George, you know, you share your expertise with other people. You're actually helping them. It may not be a charitable help that you're providing, but you're giving them some of your knowledge, which is really good. So that's giving. May not be philanthropic, but sometimes that is so meaningful to people that they don't have that expertise that you do or that I do. But I think a charity, yeah, you want to do something beyond your family and beyond work. And I don't think it's a bad thing just to feel better that, hey, I did this or I did that. And sometimes it's monetary too, right? Sometimes we're too busy, but we can donate, which is still very meaningful, or we could donate our time.
Larry, what if you're giving, constantly giving, do you run into people from time to time who you find are only taking? And how do you handle that?
That's a great question. So in my book, I say that I have a chapter in there about takers never win. Sometimes they do, right? You know, because they've taken your knowledge, they've taking your connections, and they've never given back in return. And sometimes it's a trial and error, and you have to decipher. I'm still not perfect at it. I I don't give with the expect of the get. So I don't feel like I've been taken by a taker, but some are truly, you know, you just know right away. It's like right away, hey, George, here's what I need. They don't ask you anything about you. How can I help you? And sometimes if you turn it back. So I did meet someone recently and I had a conversation, and basically what had happened in that conversation, I offered to help him out. I was making connections. He didn't ask anything about me, nothing whatsoever. So I just said, hey, we had a really great conversation. I'm going to help you out with these introductions. By the way, I noticed you don't know anything about me. He said, you know, you're right. And he didn't ask like all in. Don't forget to make that a taker. You know, maybe he forgot and I could reroute it and gave him that opening to, you know, Larry, that's right. Let me learn about you and see how I could help you. He didn't go there. I gave him another opportunity. He didn't go there. And then I realized he is a taker and I could not help him. And so sometimes you have to get people, you know, that what they've missed. And I'm sure you, and so that's what happened in that particular situation. He was a taker. I identified it and realized he's not the person that I could be helpful to. So give people the benefit of the doubt, try to bring them back around, but don't assume everyone's a taker.
Larry, and I recall a similar incident that I experienced having coffee with someone who I'd met, and we're getting together to learn more about each other's business. He spent the whole time talking about himself, and when we were done, he hadn't asked one question about me. I did not contact him ever again.
Well, you know, I, from that, those experiences, I came up with my own quote. If you lead with yourself, you will leave with yourself. Think about that, right? And that's what he kind of did, right? He left with himself, George. He didn't take you along. He didn't want to know about George. And I find a lot of people in transition do that a lot. And I've kind of coached them and counseled them that they should actually lead with the other person, how they want to learn about that other person, how they could be helpful, even though they're in transition. It sounds crazy, but I think it's really important. So if you lead with yourself, you're going to leave with yourself.
And Larry, that's an interesting point, because when someone is in transition, when they're looking for their next employment, they're probably feeling anxious and rightfully selfish, and because the pressure's on, and the last thing they're probably thinking about is, how can I help others now? And yet, that might be a better approach.
It is. And so I tell people, if you start off the conversation, hey, George, I'm in transition. I'm glad Jeff put us together. But you know, today I want to learn more about you. I did a little research on your intended message and what you do in your business. I want to learn more about you, how I could help you. And when I tell that person transition to start off that way, they're like, really? I said, yeah, because that other person typically is working, but you're letting them know that you're not there about you completely. You're letting them know you're in transition, but you want to learn about them. And what will happen is there will be a shift in the dynamic of that conversation. And George is going to be like, wow, Larry, that's so generous of you. I want to learn about you. You know, you're in transition. I'm pretty good, but I'll share more about me, but let's talk about you. And it has a shift. So it's hard for, like you say, those, they're in the sense of urgency. I got to find a job. But if you make it all about you, it's really not going to result in helping you as much as you think it would.
And Larry, I can just imagine being in that situation. If you approach me and say, hey, George, I'm in transition. But tell me more about you. How can I help you? I'm immediately going to be, wow, I'm impressed. this man is out there looking for a job, probably hurting, and here he is actually trying to help me. Wow, I'm going to listen to him. I want to know more about him. What a great way to establish a relationship.
It is wonderful. And I've had people come back, hey, tell me after you start incorporating this, what happens? The other thing that happens too, when you're doing like these virtual conversations, all of a sudden, George, you go, you know, I know we had 30 minutes today. We're 15 in. You're like, I got to go. I've got some that's just come up. I'm so sorry. So all you've been doing is talking about your transition, about yourself. The other person's like kind of lost. And you didn't get to tell them that you want to help them. A lot of people say, I was going to say at the end, how can I help you? Some say that. But if you get it up front, you don't run into that dilemma. And it changes that dynamic from the get-go. So it is awesome. And it works well. And it's got to, you got to mean it and feel it.
And yeah, when I sit down with you, if we're just meeting, I don't want the first thing you to do is tell me about your resume. Go through your resume to me. Right. And the funny analogy that I've noticed, Larry, is that when I receive requests for guests to be on my podcast, those who come and only tell me about themselves, I usually disregard them. Because I see they're all about themselves. They don't even know anything about my podcast or my audience or even me, especially the ones where they don't even have my name on it because I know they just cut and paste and sent it out. I. And which means, and also you pointed out, well, you know, I was going to ask about you at the end of the conversation. Really? You lost me a long time ago.
You're right. Well, I must have passed, George. You let me on the podcast.
Certainly you did. No question there. Larry, for people who might want to know more about you, they can find you at your website, which is Kaufman-Larry.com.
Yes.
And also, I'm, of course, on LinkedIn, and those links will be in the description below. Larry, how did you get to be this, realizing that giving was critical to yourself as a human being and as a networker, a successful business leader? Was there a aha moment for you, or was there a tragedy that happened early in your life or a challenge that you suddenly sat back and go, oh, I've been doing it all wrong?
Well, I would say it wasn't a tragedy or something like that had happened. And I wrote the book because I took it back to college because I wasn't a giver in college. I wasn't volunteering. I was definitely all about Larry in college. And so I'm hoping to instill something different in the college kids, which is something I've been doing. But I think it was at a meeting that I met, and I put this in my book, that I met an attorney at a law firm that did intellectual property law, and someone that was a connector in my world that I never realized what a connector meant, but she was a connector way back when and still phenomenal today. And Brenda introduced me to Brian, and Brian, she said, you got to meet this guy. Now I was in a leadership role in a similar industry that I'm in today. And it's like, why am I meeting with an attorney in IP? I have nothing to do with what I do. So you know what? He's unique. He does something interesting to bring in clients to his law firm. Trust me, just meet with him. Okay, I trust you. And I met with him. At the end of our meeting, he said, Larry, I want to introduce you to two people that you don't know. And I thought that was really different, right? I was like, why? He said, I want to expand your network. And I think these are two people that I think that you'll want to know to having your network. And I said, wow. So now, I wouldn't say, George, after that, wow, light bulb, I'm a connector, a giver. It took some time, but I saw that he was making an introduction, doing something different. And it made me listen, you know, in my meetings with people. I don't think we're good listeners. I don't think, like you said, we show up and share a resume. We got to learn about the other person. You can't help people if I don't learn about George, his family, his business, what's challenging you, just not on the business front, personal front, how I could be helpful. And so I really learned from that first interaction with this attorney about being sort of that connector and making those connections, introducing. But I didn't want to just do it and go, here's two people, George, you should know. I wanted to find out, like, what two people would George want to know? What types of people? would George want to know? So I started becoming a little more precise in doing it. And in doing so, I started to weave in the giving component. And so I started to learn to be just not a connector, but that was kind of being a giver and putting people with the right people. And I was seeing results from those introductions. So it took some time, George. This was probably well over 15 years ago, but it wasn't 30 years ago. It wasn't in college. It took me some time, but I'm glad I got there, but I'm really good at it now.
So you weren't born smart. You had to work at it.
I had to work it. And I like helping people to become givers and connectors and to listen more intently and to ask questions and learn about people and not show up and throw up. And it really, you know, it makes a difference. And I like hearing when people say, Larry, thank you so much. I've shifted the way I do things today. And, you know, and I've had that. A lot of people saying they run meetings different. They talk to people differently. They listen more. They ask more questions, whether it's in sales or even on the home front with your spouse, significant other, your kids.
Larry, you mentioned that you have one of your routines is to help someone in transition every week. So it's as if you have a goal, a quota to meet. Do you suggest to others to build the habit of giving that they set themselves some sort of routine to, whether it's weekly or monthly or let's start by doing at least twice a year, depending on where they're coming from?
Well, that's a good question too. And I actually task people in my presentations, and I'll say you should set an NCG goal is what I call it, because we set goals like we want to make $1 million or we want to do this or want to do that. This is not financial. It's not career. It's about helping others. And it could be I'm once a week, right? It could be once a month you want to help a charity. Once a month you want to help someone in transition. Once every 6 months, I don't care. As long as you set a goal to do something for someone other than for yourself.
Larry, before we wrap up, if you could sit down with a business leader who's partway through their career and maybe right now they think that, hey, life's pretty good right now. You know, I'm successful. Look at what I've done. Let me show you my resume. If you could give them one or two or three pieces of advice to become a better connector and more giving, what would be that one, two, or three pieces of advice?
Another good question and thought provoking. You know, as a leader, I've actually positioned to my team that, you know, I want you to think of me as indispensable to you. So beyond what I do as a leader in my leadership role, what could I do for you personally or professionally? Could I help someone in your family? I want you to come to me for things that you just don't know where to turn. So maybe it's not me, but I could help you. You know, and I tell people, if you become indispensable to your clients, it's not just about your services and products and solutions. If they come to you because my daughter or son needs an internship, or we have this charitable event, we don't know where to get this auction item, it would be so meaningful. It's going to help, you know, these people. When you become indispensable in your team, you know, the people that are, you know, as your clients are coming to you for things outside of what your business does, you're becoming indispensable. You're becoming more of a giver. You're becoming a connector. And so I would say, try to think about how you could be indispensable as a leader to your team and clients, and to actually say it out loud and task your team. You know, they may not come to you immediately, but I do it. I've done it verbally. I've done it in emails and I get messages back. But I think them just knowing that I put that out there, it's so powerful.
Powerful message. Become indispensable. My guest today is Larry Kaufman, reminding you that if you lead with yourself, you will leave with yourself.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.